Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Nancy, who, as most of you know, is the person who stepped forward to be the volunteer coordinator of Sangha Market and is here this afternoon to talk with us about an offer for Sangha Marketeers related to the Bridgewalk. Welcome, Nancy.
Well, hello, Jen. How are you?
I'm great. And you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for being on with us.
Yes.
So tell us a little of what you have in mind for Sangha Marketeers related to the Bridgewalk.
Well, I thought this would be, not only I, but this in the deepening practice radio show, a couple of people have expressed a desire to bring their Sangha Market items to the Bridgewalk. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? I think this is probably one of those collective ideas that,
yeah,
you know, everybody is having it and they're popping up all over the place.
Yep.
So I thought it would be a great opportunity to, you know, kind of bring the Sangha Market to the Bridgewalk. And I don't know about you, but I look at the things on the website and I just get real excited about them and wish that I could see them up close and personal, touch them, you know, and turn them over and, you know, just look at them, you know, in more detail. And
yeah,
what a great opportunity this will be.
Yeah, it really, really is. And I think you're right. I mean, I know it occurred to me at one point. I've heard it from, you know, various different folks. Someone has talked about baking the bread that she's been making for her, one of her 300 for 1,000 projects.
Right, yes.
Yeah, so I think you're right that it's really just, it's kind of a no-brainer.
It really, really. And, you know, we have such beautiful selections of posters and jewelry and some beautiful photographic greeting cards. And, I mean, these are things that would do very well and create a lot of interest for people.
Yep.
So, we're just looking at all of that and wanting to give the opportunity to the Sangha Market people to,
yeah,
to kind of set up a table and they can, you know, go into as much description as they want to about their items, and it gives them an idea of what it's like as well to have a table at say some kind of a craft fair.
Yeah.
So you know, it's also an opportunity for them to look at other ways to do fundraising rather than just on Sangha Market, too.
That's a good point, that there are, I think, quite a number of sort of local community types of opportunities like that in various communities. And this is a
right,
great sort of low-risk, easy, very supported way to test that out, see what it's like to do that. I hadn't even thought of that side benefit.
Yes, and, well, it'll just kind of give another opportunity to just kind of see how it works in that kind of craft fair environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it once, and it's a lot of fun. It's,
yeah,
you know, actually being able to talk about where the proceeds are going and talk about the items on the table, and it's just this hands-on, interactive way of selling your items.
Yeah, it kind of gives a whole different dimension to being able to do the project. I mean, as you say, so much of this has come out of that 300 for 1,000 team project where
Sherry,
during the deepening practice, she offered people the opportunity to join in and step up and say, yeah, I'd like to take on the challenge of raising $1,000 for the monastery in 2012. A number of people have done that, and there's that support call on Thursday nights, and that, you know, it occurs to me as you're talking that that's another way to interact with doing your project, because so many of us are sort of at home doing it in our little wherever we're doing it, our living rooms or our, you know.
Right.
And this is
yes,
what a fun way to come forward and tell a little bit of the story of what's behind it and what it's taken to make it. And as you say, knowing the proceeds are going to something that really supports all of us.
Right. And I'm thinking of those that are just on the verge of maybe posting items on Sangha Market and, you know, new at this. And I'm thinking, well, this would be great for them to get their feet wet, too, as far as bringing their items to their new items, even if they're not even posted, you know, as kind of an introducing them to the Sangha as well.
Okay, great.
So,
thank you. That answers one of my questions, which is that, is it open to even people who are just getting started and maybe haven't gotten to the posting stage yet?
Absolutely. They might even get some help if they're having problems.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you'll be there.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Little tutorial. So
right.
What would someone do if they were interested in taking you up on this opportunity?
Well, I would like them to go to Sangha Market, and there's a little area where you can contact the administrator, and that would be me.
Okay.
And I'm calling it kind of registering, but all that means is saying, yes, I'm interested in participating. And then hopefully I can kind of order a table to be there for them, that they would be responsible for setting up.
Okay.
And then and when they're done, taking it down and, you know, delivering it back to where they need to collect the tables.
Okay.
So that's all that's needed. There's no fee for entering or anything like that. It's just basically letting me know that that they will be participating, so we'll be able to have the right number of tables there.
Okay. And it's the standard, I suppose, that at least 20% goes to Living Compassion?
Yes. Yes, just as they have it on the Sangha Market. And that probably would be described on the table. That's another thing that would be, you know, handy to have, is just all the information that is needed to order their item and,
mm-hmm.
and what part of it goes to Living Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
It occurs to me that, you know, if there's sort of enough out there, that it might attract the attention of not just the folks, you know, who are coming with us to the Bridge Walk, but it's a fairly public place with people walking on the, you know, by the waterfront there, and other folks from not just Living Compassion might come by and buy some things
mm-hmm.
as well.
Well, I thought of that too. I don't know, you know, if you have to have any kind of license or anything to do this kind of thing, but I thought if it's just internal, for sure, that would
be
okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, surely anybody walking by would be wonderful. You know, it would be wonderful if they could stop in and look at our look at all the, you know, just kind of peruse the tables.
And is it an in-person kind of thing? So if I'm on the East Coast and I've got something I'm interested in selling, that's not really going to work for this particular opportunity, or is there a way to do that?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand.
So if I'm on the East Coast and I'm not able to come to the Bridge Walk in person, is there some way to get my wares represented there, or is it really an in-person thing? You've got to come.
Well, no, I guess I haven't thought of that, but certainly anybody interested could contact me and we could see what we could arrange as far as, you know, setting up a table if they wanted to ship some things out. That would be certainly fine, yeah. I know that we'll have enough volunteers that would probably love to, you know, be behind the table and do that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. There are always local folks who like to pitch in and do what they can to volunteer the
exactly.
day.
Exactly.
So I
exactly.
bet we have plenty of people to staff that.
And that's why I was also thinking, you know, if you're setting up your table early and then you are ready to take your walk across the bridge, I'm certain that some people would be staying behind that could help out during that period of time.
It might even be worth making the trip out from the East Coast.
Well, I'm hoping that it will encourage more people to come out because, well, I think it's just going to generate a lot of excitement. I mean, I'm excited to see a lot of the stuff that's on the Sangha. You know, on the website, it's just kind of a way to generate a little more celebration atmosphere to the Bridge Walk.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I like to touch things. You know, shopping online is just not the same to be able to really see it. And the timing of it is so great because if there were, you know, I don't know, a print or a whatever it is that you really liked, you could even order X number of them to, you know, come to you for the holiday season. So.
Right, and I know there's a beautiful calendar that I'm really wanting to see. I don't know if it will show up, but that's definitely on my Christmas list for a number of people. And I don't know where the chakra socks come from, but I sure hope they're there because I certainly want to see those too.
So which ones?
The chakra socks are bright red, or at least
these
are. I bet they come in different colors. I don't know, but
yeah, that's true.
There's so
many
fun
things.
We don't
even know where these things are being made, so that's good.
Exactly.
So whoever's making the chakra socks, you heard it here. We want them at the Bridgewalk.
Yeah, if you can't come, please send your socks.
Exactly. And I just wanted to put a plug in. I happen to have just seen the T-shirt design for the Bridgewalk is just finalized.
Oh.
And we'll be featuring it pretty soon in some emails, and it's so wonderful. It's really, really magical, even, is the word that comes up for me.
Oh, wonderful.
So,
Can't wait to see it.
I hope people will register for that. And a reminder that you don't have to be coming to the walk in order to register and get a T-shirt. There are a lot of folks far-flung, you know, on the East Coast, all over the country, and even actually internationally, who register just to support the event and get a T-shirt, and they don't actually come in person, but they're just kind of with us in spirit. So.
Sure, yes.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
So,
that
Nancy,
sounds
anything
wonderful.
Else before we wrap it up?
Well, just to say that I'm hoping the announcement will go on to the Thursday radio show, and I'll probably send a little note out to all the Sangha Market people, too, as well, and see if I can get a nice response. It would be fun to have everybody there.
It really,
or
really would.
People, if can.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Nancy, so much for the invitation and for being on to speak with us this afternoon.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay. Take good care.
All right. You too. Bye now.
And
thanks
Michael,
for joining us. Hello.
Sorry. I was just going to normally I turn the show over to you, but go ahead.
Yes, you know, I have my, little scripts that kind of come out at the, seems like the appropriate time.
I understand. Now hosting the show on Thursday evenings, I can completely sympathize with I see it from both sides now.
Yes. So thank you, Nancy, for joining us. That was very fun. And welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Tonight I'm very pleased to be joined by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Pisan. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Michael. It's wonderful to be here. Sherry is sorry that she couldn't be here with us, but it's a nice pleasure for me to get to facilitate.
It's wonderful. It's great.
Can I ask you a quick technical thing? I have a fan on in the background. Is that creating background noise?
I cannot hear it.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
But that was fun, wasn't it?
It was fun.
The Bridgewalk is just, I can't believe it's almost here.
Yes. Yes, and it's fun to see how it, based on what Nancy said, it just kind of emerged out of thin air. You know, a couple people had the idea, and, you know, and then it just, like practice, it seems like. I show up and I participate, and then, goodness, I struggled with that for years, and now not so much.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really fun. That's one of the great Sangha events of the year, really.
Yes.
So
yes,
I'm excited that
I'm looking forward to it.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah, let's see, a month from tomorrow. Month from tomorrow, very soon.
The 22nd to the 22nd. Yeah, right.
Yes.
So probably must be 4 weeks from Saturday.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Wonderful.
Fun.
Jenna, I have some announcements here.
Okay, great.
There's a new email class with Sherry coming up. If you haven't heard, I'm surprised. It's August 24th through September 18th. 3 days left to register. Registration deadline is this Thursday, August 23rd at 5 p.m.
Yeah, if you haven't heard, you must not be checking your email.
the title is Resistance in the Spirit of Inquiry. There's parts one and two. And so there's one part, one track for those who are doing it for the first time, and also one for those who want to deepen their experience.
And we heard, was it last week? We heard from someone who recently, I can't remember what week it was, but who talked about the resistance email class and just what a huge impact it's had on her life. And I know that's true for many of us. It was really quite an extraordinary email class, and I'm really looking forward to the part B.
Yes, me too. Me too, definitely. Also coming up is Guidance Day for Monthly Donors on Saturday, September 1st.
Great.
An opportunity to look at anything about your practice one-on-one with an experienced facilitator. And this is a special practice opportunity offered to monthly donors who contribute $45 or more monthly. And finally, as we've just heard, the Golden Gate Bridge Walk is Saturday, September 22nd in San Francisco to celebrate the generosity and support of the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yep, pretty excited. I'm actually not. I was about to tell you part of why I'm so excited, but I realized that I wrote about it for the next newsletter, so I'm not going to give it away.
Okay.
We'll wait until the next newsletter comes out.
But yes.
I think it's clear from we talked about it after I got back from the last trip and in the blogs and all that, but it's just we're really at an exciting point in the project, and I just feel extra moved myself. Even I was just recently writing my own fundraising letter to send out to folks, just extra moved to really show our support this year and just honor what an amazing job they're doing in Cantalumba. So, bueno.
Yes.
Yep.
It's wonderful, exciting. And I can't wait to see the new T-shirt design, too. So.
I know. It is fun. It's really good. Yep.
And visit schedule.livingcompassion.org to read more or sign up for any of these events.
Cool. All right.
And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. So let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hey, Andrea.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, it's been a while since I've connected,
uh-huh.
So I'm just calling to connect.
Perfect.
It's been a rough time for me because of things going on in my life.
I'm having a tiny bit of trouble hearing you. I don't know if Michael is too, but can you say that last sentence again?
Yeah, I said it's been a rough time for me lately.
It's been a rough time for you.
Yeah. And I don't know. I guess I just feel disconnected right now. I'm feeling a little better. I was really identified about an hour ago, and amazingly, I managed to disidentify a lot.
Yeah, an hour ago, did you already know you were going to call into the show?
I was planning to. I tried last week, but somehow there was some technical error, and I never heard anything when I try to call, so this is the second week that I try to call.
Okay. So an hour ago, you were pretty identified, but disidentified.
Yeah, I feel much less identified than I was. Mm-hmm. I was really angry, and I'm not as identified anymore. I guess I feel like I was on retreat back in June, and it took me a while to get disidentified on the retreat, and it just, I guess I have a lot of stuff that I'm dealing with right now, and it's just, it just seems like it's hard to be centered.
So when you say a lot of stuff you're dealing with, a lot of kind of content happening in your life?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so with that, it feels, well, you mentioned earlier feeling disconnected and then having difficulty staying centered as you kind of move your way through that content.
Yeah.
And is there a sense that that can be okay?
I can definitely, there's someone here who knows that that's, quote, the right answer. And can kind of see it.
Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, I can see a lot of players right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because that's kind of the nail in the coffin, isn't it? So from at least from what I can tell, and I certainly sounds like it when we hear from everyone else, that practice, life kind of ebbs and flows, right? Goes in and out. I'm here, I'm not so here, I'm here, I'm not so here. And that in the times where it really is difficult to be here for whatever reason, there's that level. And then sort of the way that conditioning attempts to really nail that suffering in place is to make that a problem, make that wrong in some way. And for most of us, make that about me. I'm doing something wrong. That's why this is happening.
Yeah, and I'm kind of able to see that and, you know, not get beaten up by that. So there is some disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
That I guess there's someone, I guess there's some expectations and there's someone who feels disappointed that that there's not more equanimity.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So it's sort of highlighting for you that there's an expectation that the farther you go in practice, the more you practice, there'll be more equanimity, and so some disappointment that that doesn't feel like the case right now.
And the other thing I can see is just different players. I mean, that player plus another player trying to get me to go into these stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's just so it, isn't it? Because in the stories, that's where it's got you.
Yeah.
And so it really does come down to where you're putting your attention, doesn't it?
Oh, I was just going to say that. And and it's just, and I guess, well, right, the person who's here or whatever's here right now is frustrated because it seems like that there's a lot of urgency and that there's, it's very hard to, well, I'm being told anyway that it's hard to focus my attention and that my attention is going to the content and
yeah.
and kind of obsessively focusing on the content.
Yeah, which is, I'm sure, true when conditioning has the attention because that's where conditioning is going to put the attention.
Yeah.
Right? So in that, you know, I'm frustrated that, you know, I'm disappointed that each process we're in is the process we're practicing. You know what I mean? So if I'm frustrated that I can't, you know, be in equanimity, what I have is frustration. What I'm practicing is frustration.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's totally that. And what I can see is that even though I received some news I really didn't want to today, that I was still able to actually focus and do my work once I just did it.
There you go. That's it. That's the whole thing right there, isn't it? Because if conditioning were allowed to have the attention, it would just, we can guess, just spin on that piece of content. And just
it sure is.
I even
made a reassurance tape that basically says, you know, to come back to my breath, to concentrate on the sensations, not to imagine all the scenarios. I mean, I have a tape that addresses exactly that.
And if you were to say where you want your attention to be, would it be equanimity? What word would you put there to say, I want my attention on?
You know what? It's kind of funny. I mean, actually what the first word that comes up is excitement, which I find really odd and because I probably really don't want much excitement, honestly, or I think the excitement is just really more like doing something that lights me up, I guess.
Yes,
really.
Yes. Yeah. And that makes perfect sense to me because that's the conversation we're in as a Sangha right now. you know, we're learning to put our attention where our hearts are open and it's expansive and there's somewhere for the attention to go that actually feeds the being. And that's really that's the place we are as a Sangha. That's the conversation we're in. That's the way we're supporting one another. So to me, it makes a lot of sense that that's what would come up for you. And so from what you're talking about, it sounds like the moment-by-moment practice is putting your attention there. And then, of course, conditioning is going to want to just do everything to stop that. No, but it's frustrating because it's not in equanimity. I'm not practicing frustration. I'm practicing excitement. Or whatever word you want to put there on, you know, each morning you could choose whatever word it is for the day. But really, really making a practice of choosing to put your attention where you want it to be. And then this is the key part, not looking back to conditioned mind for an assessment of whether it's working.
Yeah, and I think this, I just really need to be reminded about that. And
we all do.
The more tapes, the more reminders I get, the better.
Yeah, it's absolutely true.
And really, I mean, what lights me up right now is, you know, my work is lighting me up. And so that I feel like I really need to, you know, to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
How lucky to have a content that you spend a good portion of your day doing that lights you
up.
So sounds like you're doing great.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting.
It is, isn't it? It's interesting the difference between the assessment conditioning would want to give and when we stop and really look at it, what's actually going on.
Yeah, and conditioning just wants to give you the story of how everything's a mess rather than...
Rather than we, this is exciting.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, thanks so much for the update, Andrea, and I hope you'll keep looking and let us know how it goes.
Yeah, I will. I'll call in more frequently.
Excellent. Good.
Okay, good night.
Okay, take care.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air. Jen, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Jen, I want to give you a little update that technology is looking a little funny on my end.
You know what, Michael, it's funny. I'm looking at the screen, and now, as I say, hosting the show on Thursdays, I have a little more sense of what's going on, and I could see there was something not quite lining up.
Yes, I'm muting people, and then they're being unmuted on their own somehow.
I have that experience. I often wondered, I wonder why Michael doesn't ever have this experience.
I'm having it today. Well, I'm glad you're still here, and I can hear you, and you can hear me, so let's go with that.
Who knows if anyone else is hearing us, but...
Okay, let's try the next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Wow, just went muted again. Next caller, are you there? Wow, are you seeing what I'm seeing, Jen?
I'm seeing no one unmuted.
Okay, interesting, because I just unmuted that caller. Let me try another caller here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Oh, that's amazing. I unmute them, and then a couple seconds later,
you know,
automatically.
One of the things I do, Michael, is to reload the screen. You probably already did that, huh?
I'm not sure how to do that.
Up in your browser window, as if you were on a web page and you just wanted to refresh. There it is. That's the word I'm looking for, refresh.
Yes, except I don't run mine in a browser.
Uh-oh.
I run it as a separate application.
Okay.
So let's try one more time here.
Okay.
And the caller we just had will not stay muted, which is interesting. The other ones won't stay unmuted. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Wow, fascinating. So I could try what you suggest, Jen, which is to run it from my browser.
Yeah, my experience is that it won't cut the call off.
Oh, fascinating.
That the call just keeps right on going, no problem.
So would you like me to give that a try?
Yeah, definitely worth a try. It's too bad I can't host it from this side, but I don't think I can.
Okay. Okay, great. So for anybody who gets disconnected, let's call back in, shall we?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, good. Thank you, Jen. Okay, Jen, are you there?
I'm here.
Well, that's a miracle.
Did it work?
Okay, now, never used it in this way. Let me figure out what I'm doing here. Try one of these callers in the queue here, shall we?
Do it. I have a good feeling about this. I think it's going to
work. Next caller.
Hello.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Susan. Can you hear me?
All right. Susan, it worked. Awesome. Nothing we can't do with Sangha. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I just feel like I've made contact with Sputnik or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm glad I got through.
Yeah,
but is it really?
Me too.
Yeah. It's really interesting that you, Jen, because part of the reason I was calling in was something that you had said, I don't know, maybe a month ago you were talking. It was one of the times that you were on. It was about letting life live you. And I know I've heard you, Sherry say it several times, and you were talking about it that time, and you made reference to, you know, I actually quit doing a to-do list. And it was like someone raising somebody from the dead or something. In my mind, like, oh, my God, how does she live without a to-do list?
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, so I've just been, like, tossing it around and around, like, wow, how do you get to that? What does that mean? How do I do, you know, of wanting, of having that longing inside me to have a feeling for and a way to be that way in the world, too. So that way, it's a question, it's a comment, it's just, to hear more about how that came to be.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, you heard that comment, and it really sparked something in you and sort of as a koan. Do you know that term?
Yes. Exactly.
Sort of spiritual puzzle that can't be solved from conditioned mind, but is only sort of solved, if you will, or seen through in a flash of insight.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally I have a thought of like, okay, so the tools I'm using to figure this out are probably there probably isn't a tool, and if there was, it's the wrong tool in my mind.
Yeah.
And but still, just going, okay, I'm just gonna sit with this and be with this, and
And I'm so curious, what have you seen as you started that sort of process of inquiry into it?
Well, what went to my mind when you said that was something around impulses. Like if I have an impulse towards something, and so sometimes it's that, like if I have the impulse, move with it, that it's something speaking to me that if it doesn't seem like the thing to do.
Yeah.
And then the other part was a greatest awareness and respect for what my body's telling me. They're like, oh, you don't need to rest, or da-da-da, or da, you know, that I get internal signals that I too much ignore that I think are about life.
Yes.
But they don't fit my schedule.
That's right. Oh, and boy, in my experience at least, that is one of the hardest things to break, even though intellectually it doesn't seem like it would be that hard. I mean, how? Okay, so I'm just going to stop for 10 minutes. But when we really, really get serious about keeping those commitments, the commitment to listen to the body and to do what feels like it needs at a given time, the resistance that conditioning can pick up with that is enormous.
Yeah, it's sort of like some combination of the show must go on and have to be a trooper and all those slogans. It's like my body goes, okay, I'm tired, we're tired.
Yep.
Everybody's tired in here. And I'm like, well, too bad.
That's right.
We've got this to do and that to do, and if I always give in to that, nothing ever gets done, and you know.
Yep.
But still, even though I see it, it's like trying to dethrone a king.
Oh, yes, exactly. Yes, that's my experience too, exactly. And one of the things that I love about practice is that there's really no requirement beyond paying attention. And so if we get into a contest with it of, you know, trying to rip that king off his throne, then we're still right there in the same game, aren't we?
Yeah.
But if there's the willingness to just keep doing whatever we're doing, you know, the karma that's thrown at us, the conversation that's thrown at us is the same, but we do it with full consciousness, just paying as close attention as we possibly can. To me, that's where the transformation is, not even necessarily in making something different. Because so often that the change, sort of the, you know, going back a few months when we were talking about change in behavior, the change in behavior comes with that deep seeing, wow, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I thought when you said that is in trying to change, I'm doing the same thing, except just different subject matter.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
It seems thriving, but I have so little faith that if I just pay attention and trust that a change will happen. So when you say that, my heart just goes, oh, God, I hope she's right.
Well, and you know what I love is setting a – we were just talking about this at the end of a retreat we just finished where – Sherry was giving me encouragement again of, you know, choose one thing to focus on, one thing at a time, because conditioning wants us to focus on a billion different things, and then pick a period of time. So for 1 month, I'm going to experiment with what is it like to just trust that I'm going to just simply pay attention to this process. It's going to be the, you know, forefront of my intention, really, really looking at it, and then at the end of the month, I'll reassess. You know, I'll call into the radio show or talking about it on my reflective listening buddy call or all of the above or whatever it is, and reassess and just see, just experiment. So giving yourself the permission to kind of have a space so that when conditioning comes at you with, no, but you have to, no, just for a month, we're going to try it this way.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can do that. And I like that idea of seeing that letting life live you as a Cohen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because I've really been thinking about it. It's like somebody inside, when you said that, really perked up and went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's this about? This is something for you. And
yeah.
But trying to change it hasn't worked so well.
Well, and to me, Susan, it's like, so as you say, I mean, that's not a new topic in practice. We talk about that all the time. But for some reason, right now, something in you really connected with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
so often when we're sort of on the edge of a next transformation or a change or that sort of thing, it for me, it comes with first seeing all the ways that isn't happening. So, you know, so the koan
yeah.
comes up, oh, how could I let life live me? Well, it often starts with seeing all the ways that isn't happening.
Right, or the other thing I just thought when you said that was that life's living me, it's a different, it's not the control. I'm not doing it.
That's
and that's
exactly.
even deeper kind of fear or trust thing that,
yeah.
oh, my God, I could end up in all kinds of places that I didn't decide I wanted to go.
That's right.
Yeah.
And of course,
okay.
the funny irony of that particular topic is life is living all of us all the time.
Yeah, I have that sneaky feeling,
you know.
But I just don't want to, like, admit it a lot.
Right.
You know, it's like, how much will I resist what's really already happening?
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Okay.
So
right.
I really do. I really hope you'll call and report back in, because I do. I think it's such a fun topic and something that, you know, is really the potential for all of us, the opportunity for all of us in it is really big.
Yeah, yeah, which is why I think I've been so wrapped around the axle about it and couldn't let go of it. Normally after a few days, I'm like on to something else, but I haven't been. So it was so funny when you were going to be the person doing the show. I'm like, oh, this is meant to be.
And then you're the first caller we were able to unmute. So it really all fits.
Yeah, like I connected with outer space, and there you are. Okay, thank
all
you
right,
so
thanks,
much.
Jerry.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Susan. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Jen.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Margaret from Nevada.
Hey, Margaret.
Hi. I'm a first-time caller.
Excellent.
And I am happy to say I resisted hanging up and calling back later when I wouldn't get on the call.
Good for you. Excellent. Good for you.
Yeah, and I guess it's appropriate because the last caller was talking about letting life lead the way, and that's really a focus for me as well. I've the next 4 or 5 days I'm doing the unconditional self-acceptance retreat at home.
Wonderful. Excellent.
Yeah, it's part of my deepening practice plan.
Great. Wow.
And so one of the things that I'm going to do, or one of my intentions throughout these next few days, is to practice listening to life perhaps more closely and just having kind of the courage to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does take courage, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One of the things that occurred to me, I just started it this afternoon, and this morning as I was just doing my things to kind of get ready for it, is that one thing that came into my mind is I have Sherry's book that is How You Do Everything is How You Do Anything,
right?
The workbook.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had it for, I don't know, 5-6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've opened it a few times, and you know, I'm afraid to do it. So it's just, you know, I don't know if that will come up again, as, you know, in the next few days as I'm doing the retreat, but it was interesting to me that it popped into my mind this morning about, oh, you know, maybe that's something you could do.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And when you open it and there's that fear, say a little bit more about what that is, like what comes up with that.
You know, I think it's around perfectionism and feeling like oh, I'm not going to have anything to say. I'm not going to, I will just be blank and you know, I'll mess up the page, or, oh, there's not enough space on the page. I mean, like all these reasons why it's hard.
Yep. And are you aware of the voices in your head sort of feeding you that information? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I haven't opened it since I've done much more work around the voices and, you know, conditioning and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think at this point I'm a little more curious about it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I have a different perspective at this point. Like I'm like I can disidentify from it. I have more practice with that now.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have some tools.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a huge turning point in practice, isn't it? Going from where essentially conditioning has you on the run because you open that book, and of course, ultimately, it's conditioning fear, isn't it? Because if
right.
you do the exercises in that book, you're going to step towards freedom, and you're going to not, the voices are not going to be able to control you in the same way that they were. And so they have to kick in a pretty strong conversation to get you not to do that. And early on in practice, often that conversation is very effective, and it has us on the run, sort of a, oh, yeah, I don't want to feel those ways that I feel. I don't want to, we often don't see it this way, but I don't want to take that beating from conditioning, so I won't do it. And then at a certain point, we shift, and we begin to, as you say, be able to disidentify from the voices, realize that isn't me, it doesn't have my best interest at heart, and then we become curious. And that is such a big turning point in practice right there.
Yeah, and part of it, too, is just, like, not believing that it's something that I need to be afraid of.
Yes.
It's like not believing the messages and the voices that are, you know, telling me that I need to be afraid, and this is why, and these are all the reasons. And,
yep.
And then also another aspect, too, is that I noticed that, you know, anxiety arises, and so the recording and listening, I can really see how that will be a good support
yeah.
for me when I'm doing that, noticing the anxiety that comes up, and to do some reassurance recording and around that.
Yes, exactly. Boy, it's just, you've got a real deepening practice program going on, don't you? That's great.
I do. It's been very good. You know, I set the intention at the beginning of the year, kind of a focus on self-care for the year. And it's been very helpful to have that as a touch point throughout the year to be able to keep coming back to that.
Yep. To remember, that's my intention. I'm focused on
self-care
this year, and so I'm going to do things that prioritize that.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's been very helpful to have, you know, like explicitly made that intention and, you know, just to keep on track.
Yeah.
I notice one thing it happens to me is I get very, like there's just so many things to read and so many, you know, words of wisdom and all these different things. And so that is appealing for some part of me. And to keep coming back to, it's about presence and awareness and what's going on in my body and that whole thing. It's like, oh yeah, that's all I have to do.
That's
all I have to do.
I'm right with you. There's so many fabulous things we could read and listen to and all of that, and that the point is great, and so choose one and be present to it. Just be there for it. Because what conditioning would want to do is, I'm reading this one, but I got to read this one really fast because there's so many more that I want to get to, and then I quick on
exactly.
get to it, and then we're not there for any of them. And I just love your point. The point is to be there, to be here in my body, having this life experience.
So that's what I'm going to be practicing the next few days, and I really appreciate all the support from Sangha and the monastery. And I loved hearing the good news updates when you were in Africa. It was so inspiring, and I felt so lit up hearing all the voices and, you know, from the children and the people that were there. And so great.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank
attitude,
you so much
yeah.
for calling, Margaret, and I hope you'll call again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Take good care.
Thanks for joining us, Margaret. You're listening to Open Air. Tonight we have the pleasure of being joined by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And Jen, we're going to take a short break here for an important message, and then we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Welcome back to Open Air. Jen, we have another caller.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey. Hi. Hi, Michael. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'm excited to be calling in. I recently did a retreat. Quite recently. Quite recently. really recently. And it was an amazing retreat, but it was very hard for me. And what came out of it was a real recognition on my part that that I had let conditioning kind of take over a lot of my spiritual practice and had been kind of keeping me apart from the things that helped me feel connected and helped me feel supported and good.
Boy, that's a good realization to have.
Yeah, it was hard. just because, you know, I think of spiritual practice being, you know, the center of my life. And then to realize where things had gone was, you know, who had been driving the bus, as it were. You know, it was startling. You know, it was really, I compared it to like driving on a very long trip and then getting out of the car and realizing that the emergency brake had been on the whole time. You know, it's just like that moment of like, oh my God, that's really
bad.
That's just damage. Yeah, I did some damage there probably, you know.
Yeah.
But the good news was the waking up part and getting to see that and, you know, being someplace that's supportive while that's, and allowing that opportunity to arise, you know, in a place where you just have to pay attention pretty much. I mean, I guess you don't have to, but I did. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
So calling into the radio show is part of what I did is I rewrote my deepening practice plan
oh, right.
as the one that I'm really going to follow.
All right. Good for you.
Yeah. And so I kind of recommitted to some things and changed some things. So one of them is calling in and, you know, if I don't get on, that's fine. But, you know, just listening to the radio show for sure because there was a time in my life when, you know, I would listen to the archives all the time. And I have to say the quality of my life was better.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, why did that stop? And there was this whole domino reason of why it stopped. And then it was like, well, I can just start again.
Yeah.
You know?
That is the most essential point, Lisa. My goodness. If we could all get that, well, I can just start again.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there was this moment of like humbling of like, you know, conditioning wanted to kind of beat me around and be like, oh, you know, you say you like practice or whatever you are practicing and, oh, you know, look what you've done and, oh, and, you know, there's this real tempting to kind of, you know, where would that go? Like, I know I'm not going to, you know, because it's all there is. There's no other answer for me anyway. Yeah. And so,
such an important thing to remember is that you have an incredible depth of practice and many, many years behind you now. And that doesn't go away because you have a period of time where conditioning takes the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And so it's not, I don't quite know how to say it, but it came up for me when you were saying that, you know, all that, the opening that self-hate wants to come into now, oh my gosh, and look at you. But you have a depth of practice such that you wouldn't have had. I mean, if this had happened to you 6 months into practice, you would have not had nearly the tools you have now to just look at it and say, I'm not going there. Yes, you know, oops, whoopsie, didn't want to do that, but that's what happened. We're going to start again now, and going to self-hate is not going to help any of us at all.
Yes. Yeah, very true. And it's funny because there is that thank God or thank Buddha or the universe, whatever. But thank someone that the resistance email class is starting because I was like, yeah, this is a perfect timing for me, you know. And it's kind of like this process right now of self-hate trying to come in and be like, oh, you know, what have you been doing? Oh, you know, is like that's one because of like just what you just said. Like I think I'm at a point now in my practice where I can say, okay, and that's something else I can just look at. That's another process, and I'm going to look at that process. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep, I know exactly what you mean, and that is just so that's what practice is. And, you know, if you could go through this experience and not let self-hate have it and just have the full straight-on realization that for whatever period of time conditioning had, whatever, you know, hand it had in your practice, and just go forward from there, that is a level of freedom that would be incredible for you going forward because the voice could no longer torture you with, well, but I mean, what if you go unconscious and ha, ha, ha. Well, that's okay. I'll see it and I'll just come back.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, so it's, you know, and I was thinking about there was something that came up on the retreat where there was a discussion around, you know, like there are no mistakes, you know, that, you know, you learn, like, it's just learning and practicing, and so I feel like, you know, it was hard. It was a hard week. I mean, it was an amazing retreat and also really hard, and it's like, but I'm so grateful because, I mean, you know, like I said, it's hard as it is to look at it, it's like, well, now I get to understand it, you know, and I don't know if I would have learned the lesson any other way. You know, I don't know if I would have learned it unless it had been so hard, you know.
Exactly. So if I'm tracking, one of the really important things we all have to really get in our bones is that conditioning is always going to be gunning for us, and if we go to sleep, it's going to take back over. We have to learn that lesson. And so this was the way that you needed to learn that lesson. So there's a way in which we could just say, thank you so much. I'm so glad I got to learn that lesson.
Yeah. And it's funny because then that also feels like it pulls it out of conditioning hands, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
Then conditioning can't really beat me up with it because it's a gift, you know.
Yeah,
and so there's nowhere to go, you know.
Exactly.
It's just it. Yeah.
Well,
that was it, and so, you know, I'll be here next week and
excellent.
Every week after that.
Oh, I'm just so pleased for you. That's just, it's really, really exciting. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, that's
and, you know, it is
us.
Exciting.
Yeah, it
is exciting. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and just so much gratitude to the monastery and the monks and, you know, the guide and the Sangha. I mean, just all, you know, I think of whatever I was going through. And then when you look around and there's a room full of people who I don't know what they're going through either, but you know what I mean? It's just kind of like, oh, my gosh, we're all in this together, and that's such a powerful thing. And, you know, I just
really
feel a lot of gratitude for it. So thank you.
And that just a few days after that experience, you could have the radio show to call into and talk about it. It's amazing.
Oh, I know. Yeah, and then even, you know, just real quick, I went on Sangha Market and I sent an email and I was like, tell me more about this Zen coaching. Like, you know, why not? You know, that's where I am right now. Like, yeah, let me find out about that too. You know, it's just like let's get going, you know.
Exactly. So. I love it. I love it. You know, pedal to the metal. That'll teach conditioning to ever do that again.
Right, right, right. I signed up for everything. Like, I even went back and I was like, I'm not getting the peace quotes. You got to send me the peace quotes.
Oh, that's great.
Know?
That is so super.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Well,
love it.
Thank you so much. Thanks
thank
so
you,
much.
Lisa. Okay.
Okay, take care. Thank you, Michael. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air.
It's quite a service you're providing here, Michael.
Oh, it's a pleasure and a privilege, as I like to say.
Really?
And which it is.
I know. I know you mean that, and I know it's true. Yep. Yep. Actually, it's funny because as Lisa was saying that, and I was saying, you know, a few days after retreat, you have the radio show to call into. I was trying to go, you know, I was trying to say like 5 years ago. No, not five. 7 years. No. Okay, 10. Okay, 15 years ago. If that were 15 years ago, you wouldn't have. So it's been a long time this service has been out there. So it's really pretty amazing.
Yes. And as you know, to have commitments that we're required to show up for and be present to is a real gift.
It's such a gift. It's such an incredible gift. To have, to be called, to be present, to be here, to be, I mean, of service is a fun, in a way a funny way to say it, but we're of service to ourselves, in a sense, to the being that we're inhabiting when we show up in that way. So it's really, it's a win-win for everyone.
Yes, indeed. And the other win is that we have another caller.
All right, great.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Jenna from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Jenna.
Hey. Let's see. I've been thinking about a lot of stuff. What I kind of realized over the last couple months is that practice means that you just keep learning on a deeper level. So something I might have intellectually learned 5 years ago, I'm still learning. And at first it was kind of embarrassing or kind of I felt like I was failing. But I kind of just got that this is how it goes.
Yep. It's very much. I'm just looking at that same thing earlier today. Yep.
Really?
It just kind of spirals deeper and deeper and deeper. And as soon as we get it that that's how it's going to go, that we just have this lovely process of getting to see on deeper and deeper levels, you know, what it means for, you know, to use some of the themes tonight, to have life live us, what it feels like when that's not happening, what it feels like when conditioning's taken practice over. When we realize that that is going to be the journey and it's just the way it goes, we can just relax and enjoy it.
I know, and I feel like I really got it. Now, I'm sure I won't retain it all the time, but I feel there's like a sinking level or a rising level of, oh, that's what they meant.
Exactly.
Like, this is okay.
Yeah. Yep. That it's all okay exactly as it is. Yep.
And the thing I'm looking at, well, I'm looking at a lot of things, but one in particular is, and I've been kind of using the language anywhere I can, you know, to my little nieces, to my mom, to a student I'm mentoring, and it's all kind of for me, you know, as well. And the thing I'm looking at is I keep hearing myself say, you know, you've got to make a life for yourself, no matter what you have.
You've got to
That's your job.
I missed a word. You've got to make a what for yourself?
Your life.
You've got to make your life.
A good life.
Yeah. Yep.
Like it's your it's your responsibility, but it's also your opportunity.
Yes.
You know, and I'm getting that, you know, even though the story for me is, well, it's, you know, I want to do X, Y, Z. Well, I can't. It's too hard. Then, like, I've been training myself, like, to have the mentor or center kind of rise up, you know, and say, to remind me, well, you do this because, for instance, I'm looking at keeping a schedule for myself in certain situations. And I'll say, you keep a schedule because you enjoy doing it.
Yes.
Like I have to remind myself,
right.
You're doing this because of this. Yes.
Yeah. And that's where the recording practice can be so handy, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing. It's like I haven't done the recording, gosh, for probably 4 weeks now, just because you know, I'm still kind of having it solidify in my practice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got to get a kind of a better routine with enough batteries and a little case and kind of make the commitment. I mean, really, I mean, it's all a part of, you know,
yeah.
the schedule and the commitment. Like, it is like the brushing your teeth. I mean, I've heard it, you know, 100 times before, but it's kind of like, no, I do this because this helps kind of maintain the momentum in the space for a good life. It's like you have to do this, you have to do it on an ongoing basis for the
yeah.
fruits of it to carry you through.
Yeah, it really is. One of the ways Sherry often talks about it is, I do this because it's who I am. You know, so
Aww.
We're so trained to do things when we feel like it, when
yeah.
we want to, when we, but of course, I mean, that's just conditioning in charge of the whole thing. Right, because who feels like it,
right.
and who's here now, and who doesn't feel like it, and et cetera, et cetera. But if we just, as you say, have that brushing our teeth relationship with it of this is what I do, this is what I do. I don't have a conversation about this. I just do it.
I know. I look forward to kind of see what happens after this new kind of this new. Experience, you know, seeing things as not a punishment, because
yeah.
that's really, that is the story. This
yeah.
is too hard, I can't, you know.
Don't make me, it's not fair. Mm-hmm.
It's not fair, yeah.
Are you
well, listening to
the
archive.
Mm-hmm. Are you signed up for the email class?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because that's so, you're, I mean, that's
I'm ready.
About, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I was listening to Archives, and the guy was talking about he was with his little niece, and he would share parts of his life, of his practice, kind of in a practical way. And one of the things he said, and I have nieces I'm really close to, and I kind of do the same thing. And, you know, he was saying something like, you know, sometimes we don't, or I guess in his situation, sometimes we get excited about this, but now it's time to do work. And I just thought, you know, that's just so applicable to everything.
It really is.
Now,
yep.
It really is. Like, yes, yeah, sometimes we don't want to do it.
Yep.
But we're still going to do it.
Yep.
I thought, you know, I got that. But, you know, it's like, I finally just, oh, yes. And I just have so much hope.
Yeah. That's so super.
Yeah.
That really we have that same relationship with ourselves. Because we do have
oh
those
gosh,
parts of us
yes.
who, I don't really want to do it right now. And, you know, we often have one of two reactions to that, which is probably true for many parents as well. Either it's too hard to deal with it, so just cave in. Okay, fine. Then we don't have to do it. Or to come up against it. You know, who do you think you are? Sit down. We're doing this. Stop complaining. But instead to
yeah.
just have that reaction of, I know, it stinks, doesn't it? I know it can be boring. But you know what? We said we're going to do it, and we're going to do it. Because in the end, it feels so much better to actually do this thing. We all know we want to do it, and it's the thing that's really going to take care of us. So that's what we're going to do.
I know, and it seems, you know, I'm excited to get the recording and listening practice and some other little things, kind of tweak my schedule to kind of set myself up for success. You know, and I do that with other things in my life. You know, when I had a dog, you know, set him up for success. My nieces.
Yep.
So like now I need to do that for myself in a lot of different ways, and I feel like I get it.
Yep.
So that's why I thought I'm calling in.
That's really, yeah.
That
is really
this.
Exciting.
Yeah.
That's a really exciting place to be. Yep. Where
yeah.
I'm setting myself up for success. Here's what I want for this person. And so I'm going to do the things I know that support her in actually being successful in that.
I know.
Yep. It's big.
Yeah. So that's it, and I'll check back in a little while.
Excellent. Very good.
All right.
As I say, I think the email class is going to be just such a golden opportunity
yeah.
to fix all of it, because that's what it is. It's just resistance. That's the only thing that doesn't want us to do what's going to take care of us.
Yeah, there's so much the Sangha provides. It's really amazing. Such an outlet. I wish you guys were on the East Coast, too.
I know. Yeah,
but I'm glad.
Kind of missing piece, but, yep.
I know.
All right, well, take good care, Jenna. Thanks for calling and checking in.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jenna. You've been listening to Open Air, And it's been our pleasure to have Jen with us tonight. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you, Michael. It's an absolute pleasure as always.
Yeah, it's really great. It's really great.
And Sherry will be back with us next week.
Sounds great. Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you, Jen.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Yep. Good night.